We are getting close to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We've probably only got three sermons left. And all of those are the postscript of the Sermon on the Mount. Tonight is kind of the summary of everything that Jesus has been saying up so far. And he starts with in 5:17, he says this. He says, "I don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." That's right. And tonight, he is going to talk about the law and the prophets again, putting a bookend, the other bookend, on what he's been talking to us about. And so, of course, as you know, we've been working through the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher ever lived, and won't ever be a better one, by the way. And Brett and I were with a group of preachers this weekend, and they were talking about how long sermons go in some churches. And I reminded them that the Sermon on the Mount can be read in 18 minutes, and they don't have anything more to say than that. And so, you can preach as long as you want, I don't care. But that's the truth, too, by the way. One of the things that we're having to learn, Brett and I, is how to be succinct with, in other words, say a whole bunch of stuff in few words, and that's exactly what Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount, which is why it's taken us so many weeks to get through it. So tonight, we're going to talk about something that almost everyone everywhere knows about. If I asked, here's how I'm going to hit it. I'm going to tell you what it doesn't say, because it's also mistranslated or misspoke in a particular way often. So I'm going to start there. And then all the way back to Confucius, which was 500 years-ish before Jesus, this saying was around. And then the rabbis had said it. Hillel talks about it. As a matter of fact, if somebody has a cell phone and wants to do this for me that's willing to talk, look up Hillel's, H-I-L-L-E-L, is Hillel's Golden Rule. Just look that up for me, because I forgot exactly how it says it, and I forgot to copy it and paste it onto my things, and I'm going to need it in a second. And so, let me tell you this, that everybody in other faiths also use this, the Golden Rule. And even in faiths that are those like Christian faiths, the Golden Rule is used. And so I'm going to talk about like what it doesn't say, how it's better than what Hillel and Confucius thought it said, which is to what Jesus says. Hold on. Okay, I'll ask you in a second. And then how it's different than what a Christian might think that it says. And hopefully that'll help you understand this great, awesome rule. Because let's just read it out loud together, if you don't mind. Let's just read it out loud together. Matthew 7:12 says, let's read it out loud. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." So you see how Jesus again is talking about the law and the prophets. All between, Jesus has talked about, the Pharisees thought it was this way, but I say to you it's this way. All between, Jesus has been talking about how that he fulfills the law and the prophet, and how kingdom citizens are different than the scribes and the Pharisees. And he has, and and the law and the prophets are not come to be done away with by Jesus, but they're come to be fulfilled in Jesus. And what we have primarily learned is that the heart of the matter is the what matters. So that I can't just not do the act of adultery, I can't even do it in my heart. That I can't do the act of murder, I can't even have anger in my heart. That I, and on and on. And we look at even the way that we, even in the way that we deny our flesh, we can't do that in a way that, in order to get praise, the way that we pray, we can't do that in a way in order to get praise. I mean, like, everything has to be done for the right reason, with the right heart, and that's what we've been seeing. Last week, we talked about not judging, and now Jesus lands here and said, no, last week we talked about prayer and persistence in prayer and asking the Father for what we want. And then Jesus comes and says this to us. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, you do it also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Or, let me say it another way, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So here's what it doesn't say. Some people have misquoted this to say, do unto others as they do to you. That's the proverbial tit for tat. And in other words, well, you treat me nice, I'll treat you nice. Do unto others as they do to you. And some people actually treat this great teaching and this great golden rule that way. They kind of say, well, I'm going to do to you like I want you to do to me, and if it works, meaning that you actually do it to me, then I'll keep up with it. Does that make sense? And so we're still kind of doing the same thing. So the way that it's misused is for me to in any way think that this is some sort of injunction for me to evoke good works from you by me doing them to you. Does that make sense to everybody? Everybody following me so far? In other words, if I want Matt to treat me better, well, I'll treat Matt better because that's the way I want to be treated by Matt. And what I'm really trying to do is to get Matt to treat me better. That's not what this is saying, is it? No. What it's doing is it's saying, Bobby, you treat Matt like you want to be treated. Period. Period dot. Expecting nothing in return. Right? He's already taught us that earlier in the sermon. And so you treat people like you want to be treated, expecting nothing in return. And so let's say it in another way. So there's a situation, no matter what the situation is. You put yourself in the other person's shoes, and then you treat them the way that you would want to be treated if you were them. Does that make sense? Everybody following me? So, like, let's say that Brett gets caught in this horrible scandal, and that we find out that he actually didn't like somebody, and last night he went over and busted a cap in him. And the police have shown up, and here we all are, and we're aghast at what has just happened to our brother. And God says this, you put yourself in Brett's shoes. You imagine if you were the worst version of you, and that worst version of you just came out. How would you want to be treated? Now you go treat Brett that way. Because what would we normally do? We normally recoil. We normally go like, you know, I knew there was something. I mean, I watched him, you know what I mean? And like he seemed like, but I saw that little, I knew he was a killer. And you know I'm exaggerating the point to make it, but isn't that how we do? I mean, we're constantly judging people and we're constantly doing this. Jesus says, nope, nope, nope. You put yourselves in their shoes right now. You put yourselves in their shoes and then you treat them like you would want to be treated if you were in their shoes. You do unto them like you would want to be done if you were in the same place that they are. And so, okay, so you say, all right, well, that's kind of what it is. And now let me just talk about, read out the Hillel version of it. That which is hateful unto you, do not do unto your neighbor. Now, do you hear what he's saying? That was also kind of Confucius's read on the golden rule, or his what he came to. He was like, so what do you hear that's different between what Jesus said and what Hillel said? Can you pick it up? Okay, I'll tell you. And here's what it is. Hillel says it in the negative, and it's passive. So essentially, don't do something that you wouldn't want other people to do to you, right? In other words, like, don't do that. Don't hate on somebody if you wouldn't want to be hated on. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus puts it in the positive, and he says, here's what I want kingdom citizens to do, those who've been filled with my spirit. I want you to actually actively do to others. And so we're around a lot of others, right? Actively do to others what you would have them do unto you. So let me just show you a lot of the different ways that this has been said throughout the rest of the epistles, the New Testament. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So remember, you're going to see where else has he said this fulfills the law and the prophets, right? It's not just in this particular thing. He said it in a lot of different ways. So one of the ways is to bear each other's burdens. What does that mean? Well, that means that you go along beside somebody who's suffering and you be with them and you bear their burdens. Why? Because if you were suffering, that's exactly what you would want to have to you. And this will fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians 5:14, Paul says it this way. The entire law is fulfilled in a single decree. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the as yourself part is the as you would have done unto you, right? And so me treating my neighbor, so this is how, if you will, that I love my neighbor. I treat my neighbor the same way I would want to be treated if I was in the same situation. Does that make sense? Listen to another way Paul says it. This is the way James, Jesus' brother, says it. If you really fulfill the royal law, he calls it, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. So he calls it the royal law. It's called the law of Christ. It's called the entire law is fulfilled in a single decree. Paul says in Romans 13, he says, be indebted to anybody, to no one except in love. For he who loves his neighbor has what? Fulfilled the law. Romans 13:10, two verses down, he says, love does no wrong to its neighbor, and therefore love is the what? Fulfillment of the law. Why don't I do wrong to my neighbor? Because I wouldn't want my neighbor to do wrong to me. So the Lord tells us to look at ourselves, and he says, you do to others like you would have them do unto you. So Okay, so it's better than Hillel and Confucius because it's an active thing that God wants me to do. God doesn't just say, don't do wrong to people. He says, actively love your neighbor. Actively bear their burdens. Actively go out and do good to them. Okay, so, and of course, it's also in the negative, right? Don't do anything wrong to them. But he adds the positive. Okay, so here's the other piece, though. Well, the whole Christian world, if you will, and even lost people, actually think that this might be the wisest way to live. Are they right? Somebody say, don't hesitate, say yes. Jesus said it. Yeah. It is the golden rule, right? And Jesus' golden rule works everywhere, doesn't it? But what has God been showing us as Jesus has been teaching us in the whole, in this entire sermon? He's taught us that you have to be a kingdom citizen for any of this stuff to play out. Because if you're not a kingdom citizen, then you're just going to not commit adultery. You're not going to also not want to. But here's the deal. Look, if I love Matt and I want to do unto Matt as Matt, if I want to do unto Matt as I want Matt to do to me, I'm never going to lust after Matt's wife because I don't want him lusting after mine. You know what I mean? It's just like we don't do that. Right, for that reason. And so what happens is that you can say, well, okay, what is the difference? What is the New Testament Christian covenant difference and point that Jesus has been making in the Sermon on the Mount? How good have y'all done with this commandment this week? Have you treated everybody in your circle, whatever your circle is, the same way that you would want to be treated every time that something happened? And how about this one? Just a simple one. You know, like the way we talk about people. I've been thinking about like gossip and slander. I wouldn't want people to talk about, like I know people talk about me when they're in private. And I want to talk about people in private the way I would want them to talk about me in private. You know what I mean? And what do I mean by that? Like, how would you like to be talked about in private? You know, like, Matt and... I don't know why I'm picking on y'all. You're sitting in front of me. Matt and Dean are going to go out and hang out with some of their buddies, and they're going to talk about me. And I'm thinking, man, how would I like to be talked about when they're at lunch and they're going, you know that Bobby? Well, how many times during the week do we talk about people? I mean, seriously. It's a lot, isn't it? I mean, like our whole lives is somehow relating to other people. Your work, the people you work with, and, you know, that one person in the office that kind of annoys everybody. And, you know, it's like, or that, you know, we're always doing it, right? And what Jesus is just saying is this. Well, this is what love is. Love is you talking about people the way that you would want to be talked about. You talk about people in private the way that you would want to be talked about when they're talking about you in private. Now, how many of that one example, I just gave you one example, could give them all night. How many in that one example, how many of you would say, ouch? Just go ahead and say it out loud if you would say it. Yeah, so there's a couple honest people. Those of you who didn't say ouch, you know, you need to come down front. Yeah, so I need help. And let me tell you another liability that I have. So that's the deal. You know, go back up to the first slide. You know, let's just go back up to the the main thing there. Here's the other help that I need. I'm a messed up guy, and I don't know how to think about things. Like, you know, what if somebody did me really wrong? Like, really bad wrong? Like, I'll give you an example. Everybody who's close to me, which is almost all of you in here, know this story of mine. I was raised by a pedophile. So here's the question. You know the Lord tells me to forgive, right? Somebody say yes if that's right. But if I just took this law and I said, well, you know, he probably knows that he shouldn't, he probably knows we're not going to be able to forgive him. So if I'm going to do to him like I would have it done to me, it's like, would I expect to be forgiven if I'd done that? Nah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't expect to be forgiven if I'd done that. I mean, you know, and you know how many of us are when we've really hurt people. We're like, look, I don't expect you to forgive me, you know. Don't we say that? That's why I need a different kind of help. And what the kingdom of God says is that, Bobby, you weren't created in your own image. You were created in mine. And he has to come in and say, Bobby, really, I know that I want you to do unto others as I would have them do unto you, but I want you to do unto others as I would have them do unto you because you're a kingdom citizen. And so how does Jesus frame this for us over and over again? Here's how he frames it. Jesus says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another. How? Oh, as I have loved you. Not as you love each yourself, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Not that. I want you to love, because you're going to get it wrong. I want you to love like you've been loved by me. You see, here's what I did. I treated you the way you ought to have been treated out of perfect love. And what I want you to do is go do that to your neighbor. 1 John 4:19, we quoted a lot around here. We love, why? Yeah, not we love him. We love, period, because we've been loved. And so what happens is that in the gospel world, when God comes to live in me and he's restoring me to whose image? The image of Jesus, right? And he's restoring me to the image of Jesus. He tells me, Bobby, if you want to know how to love, you have to look at me, not you. If you want to know how to forgive, I want you to forgive even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. If you want to know how to accept people, I want you to accept people like you've been accepted by Christ. If you want to know how to husband, I want you to love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Like, don't figure it out on your own. But I want you to do unto others as you would do because you're mine. As you would do because you've seen how I've done to you. Does that make sense? And so here's the simpler question. Put yourself back in that situation, whatever it was that you were thinking of. Well, there they are. They're having the worst day of their life, and their sin's been exposed, and they're filled with shame, and I'm recoiling from them a little bit. And how would I want to be treated if I were in their shoes? I'll tell you how I would want to be treated if I was in their shoes. I would want to be treated exactly like Christ treated me, because I have been in their shoes. Amen? You see the connection? Instead of me saying, oh, man, I want to be merciful to Brett. You know, that's probably the first guy he's ever killed. You know what I mean? And I want to be kind to him, and I want to come around him and care for him. And, you know, everybody has their worst day, and he needs mercy. I don't do that, do I? I look up to Christ and see how he treated me. He was merciful to me. And Jesus himself in this very sermon said, you be merciful even as what? Your Father in heaven was merciful to you. There's not a single one of you. Brett said it earlier when he was talking about the gospel. There's not a single one of you, if you believe the gospel, that God has not had mercy on, because you would not believe it unless he had. He opened your eyes to see it, or you'd have never seen it. He opened your ears to hear it, or you'd have never heard it. How many of you heard the gospel tons and tons of times before God opened your ears to hear it in a way that stuck? And unless he had mercy on you that day and opened your ears to hear it, you wouldn't have heard it even now. God had mercy on you, and so we know how to be merciful. God forgave us, and so we know how to forgive. God loved me, so I know how to love. God sacrificially loved me, so I know how to love my wife. And on and on and on and on. So love is this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you, because you're God's kids, and he has done unto you perfectly. And so you know how to do unto others. Does that make sense? Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this great golden rule that's known literally around the world. It's so extraordinary that it's mapped onto the heart of everyone. In every culture, you can find a version of it, because it's something that somehow intrinsically we know to be the thing to do. And yet, Lord, we're fallen, and we need a Savior to show us what it really looks like. We need someone who's loved us to show us what love really looks like. And we're thankful that you've had mercy on us, and you are our Savior, so that we can know how to love our neighbor like ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.